You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. The clock is ticking on my Super Bowl pick. I'll have that for you coming up after we talk to John Calipari, the Kentucky head coach. He'll join us coming up in about 20 minutes from now. Headlines that you probably won't be reading this offseason. We have a new poll question. We'll have that for you coming up. Recapping what happened last night, Raptors beat the Celtics in double overtime. We have a game 7. Clippers go up 3-1 on the Nuggets. Lakers Rockets tonight starts at 7 Eastern. Texans at the Chiefs. LSU will allow 25% capacity at their football games. And the Atlanta Braves scored 29 on the Marlins last night. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock, and also our great radio affiliates around the country. McLovin, the wording on the new poll question for the final hour is?
Okay, the NFL headline you cannot see happening this season, okay. But we need to narrow down the choices. So I'll tell you what's been nominated, and you tell me if it belongs on there, or if it's just too ridiculous. Number one, Mitchell Trubisky named to the Pro Bowl roster.
Okay.
That's just too out there, or is that...
No, because he's starting, and so it's a possibility. I mean, it's a long shot, but it's a possibility there. So, and this is a make-or-break season for him, because if this doesn't work out, he's going to go the Ryan Tannehill, Marcus Mariota route, and Jameis Winston, where you kind of have to go to a team and be a backup quarterback and then get your chance to play again. But, yeah, all right. Well, let me see let me hear the other ones.
Okay, Jets win AFC East.
That would be very surprising. That'd be very surprising. Okay.
The Jets were 7-9 last year.
Their two best defensive players are not playing this season.
Right.
Continue, McLeod.
Okay, Taysom Hill starts a game for the Saints.
Now, that's a distinct possibility.
Do you buy that?
Now,
he's a second string? I don't even believe that.
Well, does he start because it's an injury? Now, if he starts and it's not an injury, then it's a headline there. Because then all of a sudden you're seeing Drew Brees, you know, in the final moments of his career here.
But Brees got hurt last year and boom, immediately Teddy Bridgewater was over Taysom Hill. And I feel like same thing's going to happen. If push comes to shove, aren't you going to start Jameis Winston in that
spot? I would. But it depends on who the opponent is. Like, what am I asking Taysom Hill to do and not do? Jameis Winston still has the capability of being a good quarterback in this league. It's just he makes bad decisions. I think he thinks he's playing against AC. He's playing against Wake Forest, and he takes too many chances. And that's why he is a backup third-string quarterback on the Saints right now.
Okay, is this too outlandish? Joe Burrow leads the Bengals to the playoffs.
Yes, that's outlandish. In that division, because Baltimore is really good, Pittsburgh is going to be good, and Cleveland could be a playoff team as well. So, no, that's not going to happen.
Teddy Bridgewater takes the Panthers to the postseason.
That's not going to happen.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what is the most, like, what's the most preposterous
one more
headline? Okay.
The Packers give Jordan Love a chance in a meaningful game at some point this year.
So without injury?
Without injury, yeah. Like, say it's like week 14 and they're like, let's take a look at him.
Well, I think the Bengals making the playoffs is maybe the most outlandish there. But if the Packers would go to Jordan Love in week 14 and Aaron Rodgers isn't injured, then you're basically saying thank you to Aaron Rodgers. Got some nice parting gifts and good luck. Do you realize, Paulie, I don't know if you realize this. Did you know that the Bears were in the final list of teams for Tom Brady? Did you know that?
Are you just messing with me?
No, I swear that the final list that Brady was looking at, the Chargers, the Bears, and the Buccaneers. I was told this yesterday. And I went, wait a minute. The Bears said, yes, Brady was considering the Bears. The Chargers were the long shot because it was West Coast. He didn't want to be on the West Coast unless it was San Francisco. By the way, how do the Niners play a game coming up this weekend with the fires? And have you seen what the sky looks like in San Francisco? It's just like this ominous red. I mean, it's really scary. And I don't know. You know, just breathing the air if they're going to be able to do this. I don't know. Yes.
Air quality seems to be a real concern, certainly for sporting events.
Oh, those pictures. Oh, yeah.
And Oregon, I mean, all over the West Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. But where were we?
Even Tom Brady couldn't overcome what the Bears can do to quarterbacks.
But the fact that he was considering the Bears, Chicago at least, because he wanted to be able to be in proximity to New York where his son is. So he's got a son with Bridget Monahan, and they live in New York, and he wanted to be able to be close enough to him, but ended up taking Tampa Bay. But I found that interesting. I had not heard that Brady was considering the Bears. Yes, McLovin.
I thought the Titans and Mike Vrabel, they were the betting favorite at the end.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's so surprising.
If you can have Ryan Tannehill or Tom Brady, who do you take?
I'm looking at the betting odds, and the Bears were not really in there.
Yeah.
Till the very, no, not even at the end.
I
love it.
I was told that yesterday. I go, do I bring it up to Paulie? Yeah, I bring it up
to Paulie. It's hard to picture Tom considering that. Yeah, I know they got a nice airport and all that, but it's not that close.
So did they go after the one man who beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl is what I understand. If I recall correctly, they did sign
Nick Foles,
the Super Bowl winner. They looked at the tape and said, well, Foles is better.
Who didn't beat out Mitchell Trubisky.
I know.
Right?
Or really Gardner Minshew for that matter.
All right. Do you guys have any other questions about my... we've already told you... the teams that I am not picking to win the Super Bowl. Patriots, Seahawks, Dolphins, Washington, Panthers, Chargers, Jags. Those are the ones that have already been ruled out. Who wants to guess what my Super Bowl pick would be? Todd?
I think with possibly one last stand, Drew Brees and the Saints beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
You don't have to drag it out and make it that dramatic.
Drew Brees
and the Saints beat the Lamar Jackson and the... Yes, McLeod.
You were burned hard by the Saints. I mean, that pass interference call, I don't know if you could ever get over that.
Well, I can't blame the Saints for that. But yeah, I was burned because I had the Saints going to the Super Bowl that year. Yes, McLeod.
I'll go the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC, but... Bum, bum, bum. Mm. You've been talking them up all offseason. Those Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys. Okay, writing yours down. Paulie?
Ravens over Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
That'll be difficult.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Wait, what was I looking at? So I'm already wrong. Hold on.
Yeah, you're
what was I thinking?
You're very
he's giving you the AFC title game. Give him a chance to get to the Super Bowl.
I need a nap.
He just went next level.
What if I was right though? I mean, that would be the call of the year.
That'd be a great game.
No one had that.
No.
Some sort of COVID rescheduling, reconferencing.
Buccaneers over Chiefs.
Bucks, Chiefs. Seton O'Connor?
I also have the same.
I think he's making fun of me right now.
Pick two teams from the same conference. Do it. It's cool.
I know. That's
Saints
usually my
the
move.
Buccaneers.
I'm the one on the show that's supposed to do that. I have you Saints Chiefs.
Saints Chiefs. Okay. I'm not going to say if anybody's right, wrong, half right, half wrong. I will let you know coming up in a little bit what my pick is.
Who's not going to be picked? Like, is there a good team that you're not considering?
Out of those groups?
Well, Seattle I'm not taking.
Really?
The 49ers I'm not taking.
But you said that your MVP wasn't on a team that goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Russell Wilson Jr. the third's my MVP.
Sorry. So congratulations and sorry.
Yes, and good luck bowing out in the second round of the playoffs.
Ultimately a major disappointment, but a great honor.
Yeah.
Go Hawks. Got to tag it.
Yeah, I know. No matter what he says at the very end, it's and go Hawks. Yeah, no more hints here. I don't want to give you any more hints.
When are you telling us so we could sync our watches?
In about 20 minutes. I'm going to take a couple of phone calls here and then got to let it breathe. Calipari's going to... Yes, McLovin.
Is it like a dark horse? Like a big dark horse? Like shocker? Like we're going to be like, oh my God.
I said no more hints.
Considering that Chiefs Ravens pick, now that I threw that in your way, no one has it.
I don't have the Cleveland Browns winning. I don't have the Philadelphia Eagles winning.
Yes.
Yes, Todd.
Anybody who may circle the wagon all the way to tip.
I already said the Niners aren't. I didn't pick the Niners. I didn't pick the Rams.
I was doing the Bills, though.
Oh, well, he'd always pick the Bills versus the Niners.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
All right, give me a couple. Let us see. James in Virginia. Hey, James, how are you?
Oh, good morning, brother. Happy Thursday. Thanks for taking my call on this fantastic, wonderful day, the kickoff to the 2020 NFL season, man. And I wish I could say that I agree with your one caller about Washington. We are Washington. But I love the defense. I don't think they're going to have what it takes offensively to make the playoffs. But jumping forward, man, I got to give you my Super Bowl pick, VP. In the AFC, man, I like the Chiefs over the Steelers, man. And in the NFC, I like the Packers over the Bucks, man. And I'm going to take the Chiefs over the Packers in the Super Bowl. I think Aaron Rodgers has a really good year coming back, man. But I just think Patrick Mahomes is just too much, and he will be my MVP, man. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I can't wait for this podcast result to come out. Y'all have a wonderful day. We are Washington.
Thank you, James. Always good to hear from James. Even he doesn't have confidence that Washington makes the playoffs. I'm interested to watch Washington's defense, and I'm interested to see if Dwayne Haskins is a franchise quarterback. You know, those are your questions that you have. Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio will make that defense better, but I don't know if they're going to be consistent enough on offense there. You know, you start to look at Dallas with all of their weapons. Does it come down to their defense? And what kind of input is Mike McCarthy going to have on that offense? And in particular, Dak Prescott. Because we know what he was able to do with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. But I think they become a little bit more of a running team than they have been in the last couple of years. Just a gut feeling there. Jason in Florida joins us. Jason, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So 5'8", 150. I just wanted to quickly weigh in on, to give Todd some love. You guys were talking about the wildest things he's ever done in his life. We got to give him some credit for the stand-up he was doing, you know, at Caroline's and all that. That's not something that any of us would do. Also, cold calling a bunch of celebrities to get your kid to bar mitzvah tape for your kid. That's pretty wild stuff, too. So, anyway, thanks for taking my call.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. I like how the audience is going to tell you the wildest things
nice.
You've done.
You had my back a little bit. I didn't even think of those things.
When you got on the stage at Caroline's.
I was petrified.
I mean, that's a gutsy, gutsy move. And then to not have an act when you got up there, too,
that's what's really...
Doing stand-up without jokes is as gutsy as it gets.
Like, anybody can get up there.
Right.
But to get up there and not have any jokes...
Imagine just saying a bunch of sentences and observations that have nothing to do with humor.
I guess it would be the version of playing football without a helmet. I mean...
I could have just read, like, haikus or something.
Yeah. And the other one where you... it's not a wild thing that you reached out to all these celebrities for your son's bar mitzvah.
No, it was more ill-advised than unprofessional than anything else.
That's actually the problem is Todd doesn't think that's wild.
Oh, I know. And he doesn't think it's unprofessional either.
The second time or the first time?
No, we've moved past that.
It doesn't sound like really.
No, I have. But I hated to be the bearer of bad news, you know.
You know what's a wild thing Todd did? No NFL guest today. That was pretty wild.
Wow. Wow.
That's cold.
Wow.
Hey, but we cover college basketball.
Hey, I will say this.
That was pretty wild.
It was. I did look at the rundown. I go, okay, we got Dick Vitale and John Calipari on a Thursday when we kick off the NFL season. Good guess.
I thought it was like March 23rd for some reason. I got confused with the dates.
Yeah.
To be fair, the schedules are all over the place.
Yeah.
All the sports are all kind of just running into
each
other.
They are.
But it did end up working out because we had that ACC news. Let everybody play in the tournament.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that out of left field.
Yeah, a little bit. But I just found out Vin Scully is joining us on the program tomorrow.
And Sean Salisbury, I think that's an NFL guest. That's tomorrow.
Can we let it breathe that Vin Scully is going to be on, and then we can get to Sean
Salisbury? Lay out like after the Kirk Gibson home run, let the crowd cheer.
I mean, no offense to Sean, but let's not kid anybody. Yeah. Vin Scully is going to be on the program tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah. And Sean Salisbury.
And Chris Fowler.
Oh, Chris Fowler's
going
to
leave enough space between Sean and Chris. I don't even know.
I would have put Fowler and then Sean Salisbury.
That's not nice.
Yes, Paul.
So Vin Scully's on Twitter now, and I saw a video he posted the other day. He's dressed to do a home 45-second video better than I dressed for my wedding. He looked perfect. His hair was perfect, his tie.
And he's going to be the true litmus test of can Twitter be nice to people? Because you can't be mean to Vin Scully. Not on my watch. Christian in Maine joins us on the program. Then we'll take a break. Hey, Christian.
Hey, Dan. What's up? 170 and a gangly 6'1".
All right.
I want to talk about Todd's wildest thing he did. It sounds like the premise of The Sandlot. He jumped over a fence to get a ball. And did he use an Erector set to get it? And was he wearing PF Flyers?
Wow, I don't know. You're right. Sandlot, didn't the boys, they were trying to get the baseball over James Earl Jones?
Yeah, there was no vicious dog, thankfully. But I probably was wearing a tight pair of Alessios or a
Alessio.
Corniche, Jordache, one of those. Sassoon, I don't know.
The fact that you got your pants, your crotch caught on the top of the fence.
I didn't want to climb that little short fence that I probably could have just hopped over if I had a running start. But yeah, I was hanging upside down for a while. With my friends not making any effort to try to unhook
me. Just the fact that you said that's the wildest thing you've ever done.
Oh, wait a second. I was at the Great Western Forum in the parking lot there.
When you got
the hot box.
Hot box.
I had no idea what that meant, but I found out as soon as they're blowing smoke in my face with the windows up.
Yeah, but
that's what that
not
was.
Smoking pot. While others are smoking pot, it's not a wild thing. You were just sitting in the car, and they rolled up the windows. And
I know, but I sat through it for the 12 seconds. I could open the door and ran out. And said, what are you doing? I don't do this kind of stuff.
You're,
I sat there and let them blow the smoke in my
face.
You're
so crazy.
Before the Laker game at the Great Western Forum.
Yeah. So you got hotboxed.
Hotboxed.
God, that's so good. All right, let me take a break. More phone calls coming up. And my Super Bowl pick after we talk to Coach Cal. It's 18 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Football's here. You'd never know it from this show. Football's finally back.
That's not necessary.
Sorry.
We've been talking some NFL. We just didn't have like an appropriate guest for it.
It's all right.
It doesn't sound like it's all right.
You know what? The season kind of snuck up on us, and you know, we're kind of sneaking up on it.
Well, we have Salisbury to recap what happened. Anybody could preview what's going on. We need that person to recap what happens tonight.
DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, has millions of reasons why you should be excited to kick off the football season. DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at $1 million top prize and a total of $3 million up for grabs. Thursday night. That's right. The season kicks off tonight. Thursday night. To get in on it, use the promo code SQUAD. Go to DraftKings.com. You can download the app for free. Limited time, new users can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize. $3 million in top prizes. Don't miss out. The extra special week one bonus. Enter code SQUAD, a free shot at the $1 million top prize. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This award-nominated program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. The all-new GT four-door coupe, because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you miss any interviews this week or any week from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, Mercedes-AMG Driving Performance. Vin Scully will join us on the program tomorrow. I think at the ripe old age of 92, he's joined Twitter. I'm saying prayers for him being on Twitter. Hopefully everybody plays nice. Chris Fowler will also join us as well. Sean Salisbury to recap the Texans and the Chiefs game coming up tonight. We'll talk to Coach Calipari coming up here in a moment. Carter in Colorado joins us. Hey, Carter, what's on your mind?
Hey, man, I just got a quick question for Fritzy.
Okay.
So as a true Bronco fan, what do you think the season record will be? I have us at 9 wins. Go Broncos.
Okay.
Todd? I was actually thinking about that driving in this morning. I have 9-6-1 and a wild card victory and then losing in the next round.
Okay. I will take the under for a pie to the face.
Is that because of Von Miller, or just even if Von Miller, you didn't see them doing anything?
No, just for, you know, just entertainment purposes.
9-6-1 and a wild card win. That's as far as they're going to go.
Okay. I don't have them making the playoffs. How's that?
Okay.
For a pie to the face?
Why not?
Okay.
9-6-1 is so interesting.
They just seem like that kind of team that'll end up having a tie.
Who are they tying?
Who picks a tie?
I don't know. I'd have to look at the schedule. I don't know exactly which game's going to be a tie.
Here's the bet.
Because he was thinking about this on the way. You know, actually, it's funny you asked. I was thinking about this on the way in, and I came up with 9-6-1.
If the Broncos have a tie this year, you get to pie all of us in the face.
But if they don't, you're not all going to hit me.
No, just one.
Just a separate thing.
Yeah, just me.
Okay.
But you said they're getting a tie.
I could just see a tie happening. I don't know. It's weird. I know. It's very odd.
That's a great prediction there. Is Coach Cal with us?
Coach Cal is.
He's the Kentucky head coach joining us. Did you play football, Coach, in high school?
Until I broke my collarbone in three places, and I thought, I better start playing a sport that's left rough, but that's rough.
Were you any good?
Come on now. You know I was good at everything. Ping pong, softball, baseball, football, basketball. Come on. I was a jack of all trades. That was really... not great at anything, but I can play everything. Still, I can throw a football about 35 yards right now, spiral tight.
That's not that impressive, Coach.
What?
It's not.
I'm 51 years old, and I'm throwing a football 38 yards? Come on.
I'm 64, and I'll throw it 45 yards.
No way.
What do you want to bet?
No way. What if you blow out your knee and a shoulder? No way.
I've already had my shoulder.
They'd have to carry. They carry you off the field in pain, and you'd sound like a girl screaming. You're out of your mind.
It is worth something happening, you know, to my shoulder that just to win this bet.
I will let you throw a pie in my face if you can throw a football. I'm talking like an NFL football. Don't give me some little air Nerf ball. I'm talking like a real football.
All right, how far do you want me to throw it? How far do you want me to throw it to win the
bet? You said you could throw it 45 yards. Okay. There's no way. Listen, I can. Oh my gosh, you're crazy.
Okay,
you're nuts. You've always been nuts. You haven't changed. That's the great thing I love about you. You've been consistent in who you are.
Thank you, Coach.
Your whole life, you've been crazy.
Are you only 51?
Said that.
I thought you said you were 51. Are you 61?
What are we talking ages here? I don't care if you give up your age at 64. I'm young.
I just ask you how old you were.
You don't ask people how old they are.
You were telling me how old. Let's start this over. He's the Kentucky head coach, John Calipari, joining us on the program. How are you, Coach?
Doing good, Dan. How are you?
Everything's great.
Are we on the air?
Yes.
I thought we weren't on the air.
What did you think of the ACC proposal that everybody gets into the college basketball tournament? March Madness for everybody.
You know, truthfully, I've spent absolutely no time on it because I never considered it. And Dan Gavitt followed up with, you know, we're not doing that. So, you know, I'll be honest, we got to have a season.
Yeah.
We have to get started November 25th. We have to play non-conference games, especially against some of the smaller schools, Dan, that need the money, and because they play those, quote, buy games, but they need the money. My son plays at Detroit. They need the money. And you could say what you want. Like, some of these programs, if we decide to go league only, they'll be done. And if they're not done, they're going to cut four or five sports on their campus and take away jobs and scholarships. And we got to figure this out, how we all, you ready for this? Survive. The NCAA tournament is vital for everybody, all sports. It's the one tournament that makes money for the NCAA that goes to all the other sports. We don't want to see guys lose and ladies lose jobs or sports. So I'm concerned that. Do we do it in pods? Do we do non-conference games in pods? Do we go to Orlando and play some games? I do know this. We can't have these kids in a bubble for 30 days. Won't work. These kids are 17 and 18, and the mental health issue, you know, the pod should, in my mind, should not extend more than 7-8 days and then go back to campus, take some time, you know, and then go do it again if that's what we choose.
But what are you hearing? What are the possibilities, like legitimate possibilities for a college basketball season in some way, shape, or form?
That's happening. we'll have a college season, unless something crazy, you know, that I'm not seeing.
Okay.
We'll have a college season. The question will become, all right, the NCAA tournament, it can move a little bit. It can move back a little bit if we need to. You have to start November because you may have some blips that you need to work through, and we need extra weeks to get ready. I think teams should be able to play as many non-conference games as they're allowed, with no limit. If there's a limit of 12, then you can play 12. If you can't get in 12 and you can only get in 8 because your team got sick or whatever else happens, that's fine. There's not going to be competitive equity. Stop it. Everybody's got to play the same number of games. How do you do that if a team gets sick? We all stop. The whole country stops while they catch up. You can't. You're not, and some teams are going to have stronger schedules than other teams. I just hope we don't leave out the smaller schools that need the financial help from us bigger schools. So if we're doing non-league games, half of them should be, quote, us playing teams and giving them some money to keep their programs going.
He's the Kentucky head coach, John Calipari, joining us on the program. I know you had some, not run-ins, but encounters with John Thompson. I think when you were at UMass, you went up against him. At Memphis, you coached against him. You got a favorite John Thompson story?
Well, I didn't coach against him when I was at Memphis. I coached against him when I was at UMass, and we were in the Elite Eight against Allen Iverson and the boys. He had a heck of a team that year, and we played him in Atlanta. And he, from that game, and I refused to let my guys celebrate on the court. They didn't celebrate on the bench. We won the game, and we all walked down and shook his hand and his team hand, but we didn't cut down a net. It was our first Final Four ever, out of respect for him. And he figured out what we did, and from that time, he just became, you know, a mentor, a friend. Anytime he saw me, you know, "Hey, John," he'd scream, you know, and his big voice across the room in the Final Four to come over and sit with him. But, you know, how about this courage that he had? How about he didn't coach a game. He just said, "I'm not coaching because this rule, I don't care that it's a rule. It's a bad rule, and we need to change bad rules. This is going to affect black players, African-American players, at a higher rate than anybody, and we can't stand for this." And he ends up, you know, being right in what he did, and other coaches joined him, but he was the one that had that kind of courage and not worried about. He knew what was right. This is right and what was wrong. How about all the players that he coached, the Hall of Famers that he coached? I'll give you one story. I'm recruiting against him. I'm an assistant at Pitt at the time. I'm in Richmond, Virginia. The gym is packed. I think it was John Marshall. I went to watch one of their players. And I'm in the gym, and it's packed. And I'm watching Mom because I want to see Mom's response. I'm trying to catch her eye so I can wave to her. You know, you're not really allowed to speak, and I would never do anything illegal. So I was across the way just waving, trying to get her attention. So all of a sudden, the gym erupted. Like, literally, people in mass jumped up and start screaming. And I look at Mom, and she's screaming and dancing and waving her hands. And I'm like, "What the hell's going on here?" And I look over, John Thompson had walked in the gym. You know what I did?
You left.
Absolutely. I left the program. I left my rental car agreement. I left everything and just left the gym. Like, why am I here? What am I doing?
Did you recruit Ewing?
No.
Okay.
I was at UMass at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He wasn't going there.
If he wasn't anybody, it would have been somebody on his bench. Matter of fact, Ewing may have been when I was at Pittsburgh. You know, being that I'm 51, I'm trying to think back. I might have been at Pitt at the time.
You might be 41 by the time this interview's over.
I hope so, man. Hey, they vacated some of my games. Maybe
they can take some years off. If they're going to take victories off your total, they can take some years off your life. That'd be nice.
Absolutely.
What is it like for you to watch the NBA playoffs, given every game, every team, it feels like has one of your former players on it?
Well, starring
Okay.
In next season.
Okay.
Don't just say playing in the game.
Okay.
So, you know, it's really funny to see a Jamal Murray doing the stuff that he's doing, seeing Shea Alexander, seeing Devin Booker, watching Bam and Tyler. You know, I'm hitting those guys. I hit them after games, and I hit Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra after the game. What they've done with those two, and to believe in them, and they're all young. The guys, I'm telling you, Anthony Davis is the one. He's probably 28. He graduated in 2012, 8 years ago. He was 19, so he's 27, 28 years old. These other dudes are like 23.
I know.
And they're doing it. And here's what I would say. To come with us, you got to be built different. And the reason you got to be built different is that you're going to be on our team with other really good players, which means you got to find your niche. You're not going to walk in that league and they're going to run every play, which is guys that we get beat. We're going to run every play. You're going to start. You're going to play. I'm never going to recruit anybody. You're going to be the only guy. You're going to play 40 minutes. You're going to do that. Then they go to the league, and all of a sudden it's like you got to fight your way. Other guys out there can play. Our guys learned that.
Yeah.
They also learned if you don't guard, you don't play, which is why you could have never played for me. But we got three players on the all-defensive team. Three. That hadn't happened since 77 with three UCLA guys coached by John Wooden. There were three. We had three. Eric Bledsoe, Bam, and Anthony. And Anthony should have been, as you know, he should have been Defensive Player of the Year. I'm not taking away from Giannis, but that's, you know.
You just did.
No, I did.
And who is the great defensive coach on your staff at Kentucky? Who helps?
It's not me.
I know.
You know, when I was in college, my coach went to a 1-3-1. You know where he put me?
Underneath the basket.
Yep. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Until we played a team that put 2 7-footers right next to me and started throwing balls up in the air, and then he went away from it. You know what he did? What defense? His defense was, son, you can't play. You're out. Let's play somebody else.
The 31-year-old John Calipari joining us on the program. Coach, it's great to talk to you as always. And I'll send you video of me throwing the football. Once we can get out and, you know, I'll go to a football field. We'll measure it off. I'll throw it. And then if you will administer a pie to you, how about your wife hits you in the face with a pie or your daughter?
Well, either one would try to hurt me. Yeah, and Brad would try to hurt me too. But Aaron and Megan, they just get, oh, my oldest daughter, oh, she is mean. Oof, really smart girl. Both of them are really smart, but both of them really mean.
We'll just have your wife do it.
No, I'm not going to give her the pleasure. No, it's not going to happen. So why are we even talking about it? I will promise you this. I will go visit you at the hospital as they try to put your shoulder back in or repair your knee that blew out when you tried to step to throw it.
I already have a replacement knee, and I had labrum surgery 3 years ago. I prepaid for another surgery, Coach. It was a 2-for-1.
I knew you were a 2-for-1 guy. I knew you went in and just said, look.
It's great to talk to you, and hopefully we'll have a basketball season to talk about. Thank you, Coach.
Bye-bye.
That's Coach Cal. You know, those are the conversations we have when we're in person or on the phone, not on the show. So that's how it goes back and forth with him. All right, we'll take a break. You've been waiting. So is Vegas. My Super Bowl prediction coming up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. Fritzy just told me he's got some more college basketball guests on the program tomorrow. Bill Raftery and Mike Krzyzewski, and who else is going to be on the show tomorrow?
Well, Nance was going to talk some college hoops, maybe a little golf.
Yeah. Vin Scully tomorrow, Chris Fowler will join us, and Sean Salisbury will join us as well. All right, Super Bowl picks. I already told you teams that I was not picking. And the Danettes had their picks. Let's see. We had Buccaneers and Chiefs, Chiefs Cowboys, Saints Ravens. I think those were the predictions. Yeah, Paul.
I'm curious if you picked the Cowboys because you picked them before and they burned you. But are you worried that the year you don't pick them, they win the Super Bowl?
I don't think I've ever picked the Cowboys.
No?
Nope.
Packers a few times?
Packers, yes.
Oh, I thought you picked the Cowboys to make the Super Bowl.
No,
years ago.
I had
Seattle. That's why your calls are usually right.
Yes. You don't have the Cowboys.
Good call.
All right. Let's see. One of you has one of my teams. One of you has the other team. I am not going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am not going with the New Orleans Saints.
Ah, damn it.
I am not going with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hot.
I am going with the Baltimore Ravens versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, wow.
How about them Cowboys? I had to do it. The Ravens beat the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. My Super Bowl, or my MVP, regular season MVP, is Russell Wilson Jr. the third. You know what? The Cowboys were just begging for me to take them. And I just said, all right, I'm going to do it one time. And I'm going all in. And I think the Ravens, Kansas City, they're the favorites, rightfully so. But I'm going to take the Ravens here. Yes, Todd?
But if you were all in on the Cowboys, you'd have them winning the Super Bowl.
Well,
you have them most of the way.
I'm most of the way. A good portion of the way. And I wasn't even sure who was going to win. Like when Seattle was playing Denver, and I made that prediction at the beginning of the year, and then they met in the Super Bowl. Like, I didn't have any doubt about Seattle beating Denver in the Super Bowl. This year, I mean, like, I don't know. Kansas City, I had winning the Super Bowl last year. But I obviously didn't have them playing the 49ers. But, you know, I steered clear of the Chargers. I've been burned by the Chargers. The Saints, they're a great team. I just don't know about Drew Brees. Health, arm strength. No. So I just had questions. And you got a tough division there. Dallas, I'm looking at and going, all right, Giants aren't that good. Washington is okay. And Philadelphia, I don't think, is a great team. So I thought, okay, if you can pile up those wins, and if you get 10, because if you don't win now, then when are you going to win in Dallas? But Cowboys against the Ravens. And I like the Ravens. I like Dobbins. They got the linebacker Queen, I think, from LSU. So I like what they did. They added to their roster. They got great tight ends there. A couple of deep threats, and you got Lamar Jackson. Be interesting to see. I mean, I'm really basing this off Lamar Jackson continuing to grow as a quarterback. As great as Mahomes is, I love Hilaire. I think getting him where they got him, out of, you know, the kid out of LSU, he's so dynamic. And, you know, you got Tyreek Hill. You still have Kelce, tight end. So, yeah, see.
So how much does Dak end up making off of this Super Bowl appearance? $11 billion.
He's going to make probably $40 million. If they win, they get to the Super Bowl, $40 million a year.
Dang.
Probably. And they could have had him for 33, 34.
A bargain.
Yes. It would have been a bargain. At the time, we were like, is he worth that? They ain't going to pay him that. And then they waited, and it's going to cost him. All righty. Final results of the poll question this day in sports history. McLevin?
Most likely to go from worst to the playoffs, the Detroit Lions, wire to wire.
Okay. I could see that. Paulie, this day in sports history.
Lou Brock in 1974, the Cardinals set the new major league record when he stole his 105th base of the season. 1972 is kind of sad. Gail Sayers of the Chicago Bears retired from the NFL.
Hmm.
And then in 88, Steffi Graf. Got the tennis grand slam, first one since Margaret Court did it in 1970.
I always thought she was underrated.
Margaret Court?
Steffi Graf. Oh. Man, she was an athlete. She was fun to watch. Yes, Eden.
I have a this day in music history if you want it.
Yes, I do.
Sort of off of yesterday's conversation. Do you know what single came out in 1991, on this day, 1991?
Do you want to give a hint?
It's arguably the biggest single of the entire decade.
It Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Smells Like Teen Spirit, Dan. That's exactly right.
Great video, too.
Yeah.
Was Kurt Cobain considered a great guitar player?
I don't think so.
Because yeah, I'm asking that. I don't know the answer. It felt like he was a little loose when he played. I love the sound, but I didn't know if he was considered your great guitar player.
No, I don't know. I would say he was probably considered more a great songwriter, or but not a great guitar player, or more for a sound of the guitar, but not actually the playing. I mean, his songs are pretty simple, but there's a certain genius in that simplicity too, I guess. He wrote these great pop songs, that just sounded a little rough around the edges.
Dave Grohl was probably a better guitar player than Kurt Cobain. I think Dave Grohl can, we know he can be a great drummer.
He's definitely a better musician, for sure.
Yeah.
Because he could sing better. He could, I don't know about guitar, but he's certainly a great drummer.
Yes, Todd.
What'd you think of McEnroe's rendition of that when he sung that for us?
But McEnroe did it, and I always appreciate when somebody gets up there and wants to sing, and he was doing an acoustic version of that from his home.
It's actually pretty good, I thought.
I just thought it was great because we all sing and we all think we can sing. And then here's John, who can't sing, but he wanted to sing and he wanted to play. I love it. It's just, and his wife is a professional singer. And then here's John just wailing. It was great. What did you learn on the program today, Todd?
Tony Romo's going to get paid about $180 million over the next 10 years calling NFL games. Wow.
For some reason, it just set in as we got ready to start the show. It's like 10 minutes to the start of the show, and Seton goes, Tony Romo is going to make $17 million this year. And then we were like, oh, that's right. Forgot all about that. McLovin, what did you learn?
I learned a lot about college basketball today.
See, that's not necessary. It's all about that we didn't have an NFL guest. I see what we're doing. I thought it was late March. It's actually early September.
Seton, what did you...
I learned Dick Vitale's a big Rays fan. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Big Rays fan. And a Lightning fan, too. Paulie, what did you learn today?
Bill Self and Jay Billis on the show tomorrow.
Those are good spots.
Just kidding.
Joe Lenardi joins us to talk about teams on the bubble.
That's the NFL where we start tonight.
What did I learn today, Todd?
We all learned.
You big risk taker, you.
We all learned. You like the movie Freaky Friday with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. Fascinating.
What we learned brought to you by LegalZoom during these unprecedented times. Rely on LegalZoom for legal help. Visit LegalZoom.com today. Take care of things that you need to get done. Without leaving your home, that's LegalZoom.com.
Bruce Pearl tomorrow.
Thank you.
He just called. It just happened.
Vin Scully on the program tomorrow. Talk to you then.